Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting 60,005. You are listening to Gamer Tag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta. Come on.
What's up, world? Patrick here, a.k.a. Paulston J, and you are now listening to Gamertag Radio, episode 535. The Paulston J show returns this week, guys, because that's something really cool I wanted to share with y'all. This week, we're talking all about Far Cry Primal, Ubisoft's highly anticipated new first-person shooter coming out right around the corner next month for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. So last week, I had the really cool opportunity to go travel out to San Francisco to Ubisoft's final preview event for the game before it goes live, and I got to play the first 3 hours of the game there before they had to forcibly drag me off the controller because I was having way too much fun. But before we jump into all that, don't forget, if you like what you hear, please subscribe or like us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. You can leave us an iTunes review as well. We'd love to hear from you. Or if you want, send us an email. We'd love to hear from you at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave us a voicemail at 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Don't forget, you can check us out at play.it/gamertag as well.
Voicemail 786-2737GTR.
Now, let's get into Far Cry Primal. If you know nothing about Far Cry Primal, it's essentially Far Cry in essence, but taken back to 10,000 BC, back before no guns, no cars, no electricity. This is old school man first coming into his own as the apex predator. So you play as Takar. Takar is essentially the first beastmaster in the world, the first man to say, you know what, that wolf, he'd be more useful on my side than against me. So I'm going to tame him. So he's the first one to start taming wolves, taming bears, taming giant cats. You can see where I'm going with this. The core mechanics of the game are based around you and your bondship with the animals that you control, and which animals you want to use for certain situations. Do you want to go and use as a tank as a distraction? You want to use the bear. Do you want to use a more stealthy assassin approach? You'd want to use the lion or the tiger. You want to maybe hunt some wild animals with a companion? The wolf is the best option for that. There's a lot of variety, 17 animals in all controllable in the final version of the game. But this is what makes Far Cry Primal unique. It's set in the world of Oros, which is this large, huge, vast expanse of land. And you are essentially the leader of the Winja tribe. And the Winja tribe has been scattered to the winds and have need to find a way to regroup and, you know, fend off against the threats and dangers of the natural world. Because this is a very brutal, brutal, visceral world out here. You always have to be watching your back if you want to survive. So as Takar, you start off on your own, but then quickly you start meeting other allies, the other Winja tribe, and it's your goal to essentially recruit them into your village, start building your village up to amass your military power, so that way you can defend and help thrive against the dangers of the other warring tribes, the environment, and of course, the hostile, brutal animals themselves. Because they're not the only predator out there, don't get me wrong. But what's cool about this game is it takes a unique approach to other maybe experience systems you may be had experience with in the past. So say in previous Far Cry's where you get experience points and you just pick perks whenever you wanted, this has a specialist system. So the specialist system works like this. As you start off, you start recruiting basic villagers to your tribe, but you also want to start recruiting specialists, which are special members, people you have to go find out in the world. And as you recruit them, you open up new talent trees available for you to put your points into. So you can find, you know, a shaman, a hunter, a trapper, a gatherer, things like that. And everyone, each of these people that you recruit to your side will open up these new skill trees so you can start increasing your combat effectiveness and focusing on like what you want to do. Do you want to be more stealthy with the bow and arrow? Do you want to focus more on the beastmaster controlling the animal side of things? Do you want to focus more on the melee weapon combat? There's a lot of options and variety here, which is really cool because, you know, again, you'd think a game that doesn't have any of the modern advances technology that we have, such as guns and firearms and such, it'd be limited, but you'd be wrong. There's a lot of really cool weaponry unique to Far Cry Primal, because it's all based around the concept of you have to make it yourself. You have to go and collect the resources of these animals, you know, the bones, the sinew, the flesh, to sculpt new weapons like, you know, stronger bows, long bows, clubs, two-handed clubs, spears, you know, throwing knives, things like this. It's a really cool system, and it really promotes you to be creative with how you use it. Because again, you know, even though you are the apex predator, that doesn't make it easy. So you have to use all the skills and tools available at your command if you want to survive the harsh, brutal world of Oros. So who are you up against in Far Cry Primal? The two warring tribes are the Sunwalkers, who specialize in using fire as a weapon, and the Corpse Eaters, who are barbarians and cannibals who resort more to almost a more primitive version of man and are very dangerous. And you, as leader of the Winter Tribe, as Dakar, the Beastmaster, have to defend and destroy both rival tribes throughout the course of the game. What's really cool is, you know, instead of maybe going the easy route of making all the characters speak English for the sake of, you know, simplicity, they went ahead and went back and did the research to research what was the root of all languages, you know, the Indo-European mother tongue for these tribal people that lived 10,000 BC. And what they ended up coming up with was this unique collection of words and language that is already, you know, accepted by historians. But they decided, you know, this is almost a bit too complex. We're going to regret this a bit more to make it even more barbaric and primitive, but also give unique dialects to the three different tribes as well. So, you know, while they may understand each other, it doesn't sound exactly the same. There's still a little bit of hint of a unique voice approach to each character. And what's really fascinating is, you know, the main characters in the game, both the friends and the enemies, are all very well brought to life, motion captured, fully voice acted, facial animations by the actors and actresses themselves. So, you know, when they're looking at the cutscenes and you're looking them eye to eye, it's very believable. Even though you don't speak their language, you feel the emotion of what they're saying, and it's very powerful and, you know, does a great job at immersing you into this world of Oros, making you feel like you are Takar, and, you know, making you feel that you are the powerful Beastmaster. It is up to you to save your tribe. You know, it's a really empowering feeling, and it's a lot of fun to play a game in the style because there's really nothing else like there doing this type of gameplay, which is a great combination of stealth, fast visceral melee combat, unique strategy complex with the different animals you can use. It's a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. So let's now hear directly from the men and women who made Far Cry Primal what it is. I got two interviews I want to play for y'all right now that are recorded at the show. One with the creative director and one with the associate producer on the title. And they both offer unique perspectives on what makes Far Cry Primal a really interesting, unique, fun experience. So let's play that right now.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag Radio? Patrick here, and I am checking out Far Cry Primal at an event Bobisoft out in San Francisco, and I got a chance to play probably 3 hours of the game, but it blew by because I was having so much fun getting involved into Far Cry Primal, which, if you don't know, is basically the Far Cry experience, but set 10,000 BC back in the day. You're Tokar, you're the Beastmaster, the first guy ever to basically tame wild animals and, you know, become the conqueror of other people. It's a lot of fun. But I got a special guest here. I want to talk with the associate producer on Far Cry Primal. What's your name and how are you?
Hi, I'm Paola Jouyot. So as you said, I'm an associate producer on Far Cry Primal, and so happy to be here and to be able to chat with you about the game.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me. So first off, Far Cry Primal, is this one person's idea, or was this like a culmination of feedback being like, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we did this? Because you had the great engine from Far Cry 4. I love that game. I played it to death. It's a lot of fun. But I feel like with this engine, the way it applies to this old school BC mentality, it's almost better in my opinion. You know, where did this idea come from for Primal?
It's actually, it was very organic, you know. I think JC, our creative director, had this idea in his mind for a long time, but it never really came to fruition. And at one point, he started pitching it. And you know, the way it is on the brand is like someone has an idea and he started pitching it and the idea start creating motion and people get attached to it. And basically when he said, you know, Stone Age, what do you guys think? We had 1 second, we were like, okay, that's very different. But immediately after, we're like, this is awesome. Like, it opened a new world of possibilities.
It's fantastic because, again, no one else is really even trying to do this kind of thing at all. I mean, the closest comparison I can think of is there's like an old school prototype game called BC years ago back in the original Xbox that fell through. Everyone was super disappointed because it sounded amazing. This seems to be carrying that legacy forward for Far Cry Primal. So, you know, I broke it down a little bit. You know, you're out to Akari or the Beastmaster. Set this up. You know, what is this world? You know, what is my goal here? You know, what is the experience about?
So you play, as you said, Takar. Takar is a season hunter. He basically gets detached from his hunting tribe because they all get killed, basically, and he finds himself alone, arriving in a new savage world, which is a world of Oros that we built. And basically, he has one objective in mind, find his lost ancestor and rebuild his tribe. But first, he will need to survive.
Well, I noticed, you know, once I had, you know, basically set up my base camp, you know, recruited some people, which brings me to my next question is the concept of the specialist, which I noticed is, you know, it wants you to go out and find these certain, you know, warriors and shamans and people like that. And I noticed it ties over to the skill tree. You want to explain that?
Yes, of course. So the first thing is that we really wanted you to start as a prey. And the way that men evolved in this area is, of course, by taming the wild, as you said, and part of taming the wild is being able to advance technologically as well. So each of these specialists represents a different branch of that will allow you to basically push back the danger of the wild. So you have, yes, the warrior, as you saw, but you have also the crafter and you have the herbalist and all. And every time, basically, you're going to walk in the open world and through your exploration, you're going to find them. Then you can bring them back to the village with you and they will install themselves there. And once they're there, they're going to open their individual skill tree and with skill related to their specialty, basically. And then you can basically upgrade their huts. And this will allow you to unlock new skills in any order you want. And so they are really the ones that are going to teach you to survive.
Let's talk about the world of Oros. You know, I feel like I've only seen a small fraction of it. What can I expect? You know, the range of animals, the range of environments, you know, tease me a little bit. You know, don't spoil it for me because I want to play it. But give me a taste of what I can expect from the full Far Cry Primal.
Okay, I'll try to not spoil it, but what I can say is the world is huge. It has never been so diverse. So you have so many different locations. You have, as you saw, the Cedar Forest, which is really dense, you know, and really like old with giant tree. But then you have also the glacier on the north and you have the marshlands on the south. So you have a lot of different regions. And also we never had that much density in the world. I don't know if you noticed, but it's twice as dense as previous Far Cry, which means a lot more animals. So because we wanted you to have, if you want to have density, you need to have variety. We create a bunch of new animals. So basically, you have 50 animals, including 17 that you can play with. You have a bunch of different regions. You have 3 tribes. You know yourself, but the Isla. And so, yeah, I hope that's the answer.
But you brought up the other two tribes, I think it's the Flesh Eaters and the Sunwalkers, and they have their own names for that as well. Talk more about those two rival tribes, because obviously, in the part I saw, I was introduced to the two leaders. I saw the threat they posed. Explain to me the differences between the two, and, you know, what kind of enemies am I expected fighting in these people?
Absolutely. So you have two tribes. You have the Udam and the Izila. So Udam are really the most primitive tribe of the region. To give you a little bit of backstory, during the Ice Age, they got themselves caught in the mountains. And so they didn't have any resource and they only managed to survive through inbreeding and basically cannibalism. So they're really primitive and savage, and they just started going south and discovering the Valley of Oros, and they want a slice for themselves. And on the other side, you have the Isila. They are at the other end of the spectrum. They are the most technologically advanced, excuse my French, and they are very vicious and a lot more politically evolved as well. And so they see all the other tribes as their slave. They consider that everybody should be working for them. And the best representation of that is that they actually have a god queen and both of these tribes, their main goal will be to prevent the Wenja, from regaining their former glory.
And like you said, the Wenja, which is your home tribe, and I noticed is you have almost a concept of like base building. You're building your village up. I noticed I was getting to explain that to me, like how do I make my village more powerful and how much can it expand?
So this is the first time in a Far Cry that we're giving the player a real hub that he can upgrade. So it's through the specialist, actually. As I told you before, you'll be able to bring them out. By bringing them, they will give you different quests that will allow you to not only improve the hut, but improve the village around them. And so by completing quests for them, but also by finding resources in the open world that you need to build this building, you'll be able to increase technologically your village. I need to stop saying this word. It's too hard.
Oh, so the next for me is moving into the weapon section. You know, Far Cry has been a first-person shooter since its inception. I love them all, but to me, this is something completely unique. Talk to me about what kind of weapons are available and, you know, the whole concept of the crafting, which I like because it felt very organic. It felt like a reason. You know, people have told me in the past they didn't like the past Far Cry because there was such a focus on the animal killing, the resource collecting. They felt they were detracting from the first-person shooter they wanted to play. I think with this, it feels more organic and ingredient, integrated into the game in a way that it makes me, because I feel like I am Takar. This is my purpose. I need to feed my tribe. I need to upgrade my weapons. So tell me more about the weapons and, what you have to do to upgrade them.
So for the first time, we're bringing two things. So the first thing is the ability for you to craft weapon. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is durability for the weapons. So which means that you have, first of all, a lot of different weapon jars and types. So you have bows, you have clubs, you have swing, you have spear, which are all brand new. And we're bringing back the bow, but with a lot of new things as well. And so each of these weapons, you'll need to craft them. And for that, you'll need to find first the recipe. So this ties again to the specialist and the warrior that are going to give you this kind of new technology. And then you'll need to use the resource around you to craft them. And so all of them will have a limited lifetime. So you need to always be kind of, you never have this safety of having a weapon that is always going to be with you. So it means that you need to plan ahead.
That's really cool. I'm really enjoying this. So let's go back to the animal.
I forgot to say as well, because this is something that I think you would like, is also for the first time you can put all the weapons on fire. And you saw how the fire behaves in the game. You can create mayhem.
I noticed that is, some of the times, when enemies are fighting each other and I'm trying to like get in there and help, but I accidentally set half the forest on fire, or I'll hit one enemy and the bear will be on fire and you run like a torch and set the rest of the village on fire. I love the dynamics between the enemies fighting. I also noticed there's almost like a social hierarchy between the animals because, I was trying to tame one of the jackal, the dhole things, but I had my wolf with me and the dhole was so intimidated by the wolf, I couldn't get near it as well. Is that prevalent with the other species as well?
Yes, absolutely. We have this ecosystem in the open world that allow all of them, to have a real life and to interact with each other. And we needed to have the same thing also with your companion that we're giving you. And so we wanted him to emulate the behavior that you could see in the world. Otherwise, it wouldn't be credible. And also for you to know how to use it. So what is super cool with that is that you have one companion for every situation.
More of those companions now, like you said, me and you are both animal lovers. We said this off air. I automatically felt attachment to my wolf immediately, and I got super distressed when he died. And I was like, I can revive him. That's good. That's good. So talk about what kind of animals are available for us to tame, and
So you have 17 predators, prehistoric predators that you can use as your weapon. So you have, as you said, the wolf. That is like the first one you get. He's really, adaptable, so you can use in many situations. Then you have, for example, every feline. They are very, I don't know how to say that in English, but they basically take advantage of the situation. So you'll see that when you're fighting them, they will fight at first, but if they see that you're a little bit dangerous, they will kind of.
They got some cunning to them. Yeah. There's some higher thinking there. They can. I like that.
And at the same time, when you have it as your pet, he's the pet that allows you to play stealth. If you want to go attack an outpost, then you'll take a bear because he will be kind of a shield for you. Mm-hmm. So you see, they all have, depending on their type, they all have a specific skill set that is related to it.
Yeah. Like you said, like outposts, which is a concept that carried over from Far Cry as well. But now, again, it feels more interesting to me because, you know, I am, you know, the leader of my village, essentially. And, you know, it's up to me to go and expand my territory. So I noticed you have the outposts you can capture. What are some other, you know, interesting activities you can do in the larger world besides the story?
So, of course, we couldn't do a Stone Age game without having caves. So we're adding really this kind of underground world, you know, that you can completely explore. And that ties into all this Stone Age. And it's really cool, actually. I love them. And then you have also, I think you saw that, which are the pillars. Our fire and the campfires. Because we're going back to the Stone Age, we lost the ability to have a map. So we really wanted the player to have to kind of explore the world and unfog it as he goes. And so because of that, we needed to give you a safety place. You know, and that's what we did with the campfire and the pillar of fire. It gives you a place that you can lit, that is going to create light, and that will protect you from the predators. So if you want to take a breather, that's where you should go. And they also will become teleport points for you to navigate more easily in the world.
Well, man, I always love fast travel, especially in a game where I have to hoof it everywhere. And I love this, like, you know, the animals, again, they feel so organic. You know, at one point I was, you know, trying to chase down, you know, a moose, and I sent my wolf after it, and they just bolted and took off, and I couldn't even keep up, only because the mini-map icons were there, I could be able to follow them. But, you know, it felt like it was such a vast, like you said, a vast open world, but it felt dense because everything seemed to have layers of, you know, the ecosystem, the animals, you know, the way it's designed. And again, that's just a small taste of it. You know, how does that apply to, like, the larger game? Like, you know, my story, obviously, like you said, you have the glacier, you have the marshlands, you have the center area. Size-wise, can you compare that to Kerat from the last game?
It's very similar to Kerat, actually, in terms of size. But as I told you, the main difference for us is, like, similar in terms of size, mm-hmm. but more dense, a lot more dense, mm-hmm. and more varied in terms of environment. Yeah.
Well, it's an amazing game. I'm already in love with it. I can't wait to get more hands on it as well. So, Paul, I got to say thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me about Far Cry Primal, which is, again, you know, as a game I didn't even know I needed until I found out it existed. And, of course, it's just as fun as I thought it'd be. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk.
Oh, thank you for your time as well. And, like, I'm so glad that you enjoyed the game. We hope that you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed making it.
So basically, Far Cry Primal, when can I play it and on what platforms will it be available on?
So it's going to be available February 23rd on Xbox One and PS4, and it's going to be available on March 1st on PC.
What's the reason for delay for PC? Why did you wait that extra time?
We really wanted to optimize each platform individually, and we wanted to take the time to do it well.
I'm curious about the language that these people are speaking in the game, because, you know, initially I had wrote it off as being like, well, you know, they can kind of make it whatever they want. I'm reading subtitles, but I overheard someone saying there's more to that. What is the story of the language of this game?
It's an awesome story. Actually, you know, when we started the game, we started thinking about how are they living at this time and age? And then we start thinking about the language, and we tried a little bit. We did a kind of test with a scene in English, and it just didn't sound it right, you know? And so we started thinking, and we started talking to a language specialist, and we learned that there is a mother of all language, which is Pi. And this language is actually the one from every language on Earth, may it be on Asia or in France, come from. And so what we did is that we kind of took this version today, and we tried it with it, and then we saw that it was still not sounding right because it was too evolved. It was kind of direct translation of what we have today. So we work with the specialist, and we created our own language based on this Pi language. And we even had to create three different languages based on that because you have one for each tribe.
Fantastic. I'm going to play on PC, so I'm looking forward to the ultimate experience, you know, 1080p, 60fps. I'm excited. So it's Far Cry Primal. You guys got to check it out. I mean, and one more thing I got to say. People seem intimidated by first-person shooters a lot. This seems like one of the most accessible first-person shooters I've ever seen, because by removing the guns and the stress of being like, oh, I can't hit, there's recoil, using the spears and the bows and the clubs, they all feel so organic. So I gotta say thank you so much for the combat system. It works fantastically well. I can't wait to get my final hands on the game. So again, Paul, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag Radio? Patrick here again from Ubisoft's event for Far Cry Primal in San Francisco. You just listened to my interview with associate producer Paula on the game. Had a great time talking with her. But now, other than the spectrum, I'm talking with the creative director of Far Cry Primal. Hey, what's your name, man?
Hello, I'm Jean-Christophe Guyot. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, man. I'm going to call you JC for short. Is that cool? All right, awesome. So Far Cry Primal, I asked her a basic question is like, you know, set up whose idea with this? And she said it was an organic one, but then also heard someone say you had a pretty big, you know, input onto this game. You know, where did this come from for you? Like, what made you decide to be like, you know what? I haven't been a caveman in a game yet. We need to do that.
It's super interesting. It's been in the brand for a long time. We've been discussing about it a lot. It's something that is very passionating, but being able to actually see what it's like to survive at the Stone Age against nature that is bigger than you is something that is very exciting, especially in this world where we have all these complex matters, this kind of thing. So it's interesting for us to actually drop you in the Stone Age and make you survive the megafauna.
The big word is surviving. Obviously, Far Cry is always, you know, put itself out there as being, you know, you're thrown into the jungle. You know, or you're thrown into Kirat or other places like that, and it's like, now survive. And then as soon as you get a gun, I'm like, all right, I'm good. I'm happy now. But this is the other end of that spectrum, because I love this is, you know, I've always loved bows and arrows in games, but this feels like something different because it is, you know, I made it myself. So the crafting system is really, really cool. What made y'all decide, you know, what weapons you wanted to do and, you know, why, you know, certain weapons were instead of other ones? You know, what was the design process to come up with some of these cool crafting ideas?
One of the core ideas is we wanted to have the survival experience at the Stone Age to be a little bit longer part of the process. And we looked at really the tools that were available at the time, what was craftable. So we decided to set the game at a time where bow was available. But the other weapons, they really naturally came by. One of the aspects that is super interesting is it's a time when man was hunting a mammoth in Siberia. And that's where originally they started to tame wolves in order to hunt with them. And this idea really stuck with us. And we decided to let the player be able to tame all the predators in the game. So it gives a whole set of new tools and toys for the players to play with, an experience that he hadn't had before.
Yeah. So in terms of, like, you know, the land, Oros is what you're in. You know, you are the Winged Tribe. You are beset by enemies on all sides. You know, how much digging did y'all do, you know, anthropology and archaeological, to come up with this, you know, and how much was your own design?
So we reached out to a lot of specialists, anthropologists, directors also, who did documentaries about the time period. And originally, it's super interesting. It was a white thing, Stone Age. It's super large. But we zoomed in on Mesolithic, which is a time period when a man went from hunter-gatherer to actually more sedentary lifestyle. And it's an interesting aspect of the turning point for humanity. And then we also discussed with a language specialist and a body movement specialist. And the language aspect is super interesting because when we started to do it in English, it felt a little weird and not so immersive. And so we reached out to the specialist from the University of Kentucky, who are actually specialists in Proto-Indo-European language, which is known as the mother of all tongue. Basically, all other languages from German to Hebrew would derive from there. And so they created a more primitive version of this for the game. It's quite exciting.
Like, you know, it felt so organic, and, you know, even though, you know, I've played a lot of games maybe that, you know, have gone either, you know, they've made up a language from scratch and it's more just like I'm listening to gibberish and reading subtitles, because, you know, I watch a lot of shows in other languages, so I'm used to that anyways. But like you said, I love the fact that y'all went out of the way to create something that was just real enough, where like you hear certain words and you're like, that sounds like a word they would use for that, but like the dialogue is still, you know, the syntax, the way they talk to each other, very primitive and brute. But I also liked, you know, I noticed there were some differences between the three tribes as well. Paul brought this up to me. I didn't notice this at first, but once I went back and listened to it, I was like, oh wait, you know, there is a slight difference of the language that they use. Did you use that same master language and then like separately craft it for the other two rival tribes, which is I can't think of the actual names, but the Corpse Eaters and the Sunwalkers?
Yes, actually the idea was to create a more primitive version from Proto-Indian European and do three versions of it. One from the main tribe, the Wenja, one for the Udam, which is a much more primitive tribe in the north, and one for the Izila, who are more advanced. They're coming from Mesopotamia and they master agriculture and this kind of thing. So they have a different wording, different ways of saying the things. There's much more these kind of things in the words. And super interesting because you're right, you find the sources of the different words. So for example, brother is said brashtar. So there's it feels right, you're right.
The thing is, like, you know, I saw such a small taste of, you know, the overall world of Oros, and, you know, I was told, you know, there's gonna be, you know, glaciers in the north and marshlands in the south. Did you have any like direct, you know, inspiration from real world locations of which y'all wanted to use to make Oros?
Definitely. When we looked at Mesolithic, it was super interesting because through history, men have been traveling. I mean, humanity has been moving from Africa to Europe. And what they did is they went north and then they hit the Danube River. And this became basically the highway of migrations. In one way and then the other. And so we zoomed in on the region of the Carpathian Mountains where there was a big glacier. And by receding, the glacier basically nourished the valley and created this cornucopia. And so for us, it was an opportunity to really condense the whole period of the Mesolithic into one area and one time frame where different tribes with different culture could collide and create this experience.
Cool. So, you know, I've already set this up before in the previous interview, but you are the first Beastmaster. You are the kind of leader of your Wenja tribe. How, like, in terms of a story you're trying to tell here, you know, I don't want you to spoil anything here, but give me a taste of, like, what is Takar's experience? You know, what journey does he go through? You know, is it...
Well, at the beginning of the game, you're in a hunting party and the hunting party like it goes badly. And so you're really completely lost and it's more about survival. You finally reach the land of Oros and you understand that nature and the two other tribes are your biggest enemies and that your tribe, the Wenja, have been scattered all across. So it's up to you to actually reconstruct your village, your tribe, bring back all the Wenja. And they will give you knowledge, they will give you new abilities. So as you do, you will become more powerful, you will become empowered, and then you will be able to reclaim the land of Oros and become the apex predator.
Wants to be the apex predator. It's a lot of fun. I know, it's so great. I love the ecosystem, I love the design of it. The world feels so alive to me. You know, like Paula told me, you know, it's similar in size to Karat, but she described it as being dense in terms of, like, you know, y'all wanted to increase the number of animals, you wanted to make it feel organic. I really noticed that has shined through in a lot of ways. I know you have like optional missions like the outpost and things like that as well, but like, are there like secrets hidden away? Like, you know, how much exploration are you promoting in this besides the main story?
There's always a lot of secrets in the games. There's a lot of Easter eggs and this kind of thing. So I'm impatient for players to actually find them. What we really liked also is the organic food chain. We made sure that there was a lot of cascading effects. So if you put an animal on fire, it will put the whole world on fire. Yes. They hunt each other. The other tribes also wanted to show them, show that they were part of this world. So They're also able to hunt, to do agriculture. They're doing stuff in the world that makes sense for the time period. So we try to make the world as dense and rich as possible.
So let's discuss the length of the game. You know, how's this relation to, say, the previous Far Cry in terms of, you know, how large is my experience going to be? You know, how much of a ride am I in for?
The experience as a whole, the size of the world, the lengths of the game are very comparable to previous Far Cry games.
And a final question, you know, when I complete the story, am I still able to explore the world after it's over?
Yes, definitely. There's still a lot to do in the world. You will be able to explore it, conquer it, and you are also able to reset the outpost once you've completed everything if you want.
Again, I can't think of too many other games that, you know, have animals designed in a way that feels so realistic. So, like, you know, the companion system, which is, you know, very prevalent in the game, I noticed that, you know, the animals seem to, like you said, there's like a hierarchy and like an almost the way they react to each other. Can you talk more about like the specialties of the animals and, you know, like how they differentiate each other between traits?
So there are several animals. There's the predators, the prey. What's interesting is all the predators you will be able to tame. They come with different traits. So, for example, the felines, they're really good at stealth. When you crouch, they crouch too. They're able to take down enemies without them noticing. Dying, at least. The wolves, they're really good at hunting. And the bears, they're super good at tanks. So you can send them in and it creates this big distraction. And you're free to either go in assault or do your thing. But every animal also has its specific traits. So, for example, the wolf will howl if there's enemies around. There's some animals that will attack the enemies, that will loot for you, that will bring back loot. So there's a lot of aspects. And you can also ride some of them. So you can ride the saber tooth, the bear. So it makes your travel, and the mammoth, so it makes your traveling through the world much easier and much more fun because it becomes also a weapon. And then in the prey, there's a lot of small behaviors. So, for example, when you hurt them, they will start bleeding, and then you can track their blood in order to follow them through the forest. There's some rare animals that leave a scent trail behind them. So they're rarer. You will want their skin to upgrade your equipment. But so the hunt is very different because now you're following the scent. And then there's a lot of small detection behavior that will raise your head, or look into your direction, and the cascading effects also, because you're not the only hunter. It's a world of hunting. It's a food chain. So you might very well zoom in onto a prey, and suddenly there's a saber-toothed tiger that decides to attack. So, and this creates a situation where suddenly you run after everything, and you can also run into an enemy wearing tribe. So creates these cascades and this contagion effect that is very at the core of the idea of an anecdote factory, basically.
It's fantastic. Far Cry Primal, I got to say, I think it might be the most interesting iteration of Far Cry that you'll ever done, just because, you know, I play a lot of first-person shooters, so used to the gun mechanics, but this just feels like it's almost more skill-based in a way, but at the same time, it doesn't feel alienating. It feels like this is more accessible than past Far Cry's because it's starting you off at such a basic level and slowly building you up into being, you know, the great warrior, the legendary Takar. I just really like that aspect a lot. So another question I had, which I noticed, is the day-night cycle in the game. Obviously, a lot of games have done this in the past before, but I noticed the nighttime in this game is so much different than other games because this is before electricity, and I feel like the darkness actually is dark. I feel threatened by things around me. Describe, you know, the process of how y'all developed the night system in this game, because it seems like it actually is very unique and different from the daytime.
I mean, there's a reason why night is frightening nowadays, and we really wanted to retranscribe that. It's the time when predators come out, so at night you will have much more chances of encountering wolves and other predators, and there's specific preys that you can also hunt. But it's very dark, and so sometimes you travel the world, you will need to light your torch in order to light your way. And in the what's interesting also is when you see a location afar, you will see the aura of light around it. So it's an appeal of what's there. So it's an appeal for exploration. So it's both a challenge for you and an opportunity, because there's plants, there's animals that only come out at night. And so if you want to seize the opportunity to actually find them, you have to face the danger of night.
It's very fun, and again, that the whole use of fire in this game is just fantastically well done. As you alluded to earlier, you can sometimes actually set half the forest on fire, not meaning to. So I love how y'all designed it. Did you make any major changes from the fire system from Far Cry 4, or is it a similar in design?
At the core, it's a propagation system, but we made sure that the whole world was super burnable. Fire is a very iconic thing of the Stone Age and before also, so we really wanted to capitalize on it. You can set all your weapons on fire, any one of them. So it's an opportunity to shoot, for example, a fire arrow at one guy, and you look away, and a minute later, when you look back, the whole village is on fire. So there's a lot of chaotic experience, and it's all about these cascading effects. You set something on fire, it's an animal, it starts to run into something else, it sets it on fire, there's two enemies running away in fear. I mean, this is the interesting interactions that we want to explore in the game.
I guess final question is, you know, how did you work with the voice actors in this game? You know, how many people were involved in this? Because it sounds perfectly believable. That sounds incredibly realistic. How is it working with these people?
So we have a large cast of characters, both friendly and enemies. The idea is that when we initially started, we tested with English. It was not working. So they spent 2 weeks of training with the voice specialists. And also because body movement is super important. Sometimes they were too ape-like, and at the time, man was not that primitive, but sometimes they were too modern. So we also reached out to a movement coach, Terry Notary, who's known for working on Planet of the Apes, Marvel movies. And so he also trained the actors into how they should behave, stand, and demodernize their poses and this aspect of the game. So.
It's really cool. You said that. I didn't know that, but it does feel very organic. Like I don't see anything in the game makes me go, well, wait a second. This look weird, right for the time period. But yeah, like some of the movements they do, especially like the shaman in that game. I can't think of his name right now, but I just love his larger than life personality and just that, how in your face he is and all the characters. And, you know, again, that motion capture is so important for conveying, you know, that the message, you know, I don't speak the language. I can feel the emotion, the anger, and y'all did a fantastic job bringing these characters to life. I cannot wait to get my hands on the final version of this game. I'm really, really excited. But JC, thanks for talking with me. It's been great. I wish you the best of luck finishing up this game. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And best of luck with the game. And please finish it soon.
It will be done.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737 GTR.
All right, and we're back. I hope you enjoyed those interviews as much as I enjoyed recording them. I always love talking to people who are super passionate about what they do, and you can tell this definitely was a labor of love from everyone involved in this, too. Basically, for me, take what was already an outstanding gameplay concept and engine in Far Cry 4 and readapting and repurposing in it into one of the better sequels I've ever seen in a game series. You know, right now, as it stands, I've only played the first 3 hours of Far Cry Primal, but for me, those first 3 hours have been more enjoyable than the culmination of all the Far Cries 1 through 4 that I played throughout the years. Bold claim, I know. I love the first 4 Far Cries, but I think Primal is just something so different and out there from what no one else is doing. That's what makes it so appealing. And for me, I'm always big on immersion in games. You know, the more immersive an experience is, the more I'm going to enjoy it. And Primal, I think, really knocks us out of the park of sucking you into that world of Oros, making you feel like you are Takar. And they just do a wonderful job of giving you that sense of empowerment of how fun it feels to be the apex predator, to have to think your way out of situations and not just always rely on brute force. There's a lot of strategy to this game as well. Not to mention, it's a beautiful world to explore. Even if you're the kind of gamer that doesn't really like to focus on the first-person shooting mechanics of a game, I like Primal a lot because it eases players into the experience. It doesn't require too much of a twitch skill as opposed to the previous Far Cries. So it's easy to pick up and play, but very hard to master. But I think if you give it a shot, I think it's really going to be interesting to see how people approach different situations. So even when I was playing myself at the event with other, you know, journalists and press there, I was watching their gameplay as well, and they were approaching situations completely different than how I was approaching situations, because I think it was based on the history of how you played Far Cry in the past or how you played other games of the style. But there's still that unique freshness to the game that just does a nice breath of fresh air in this industry that seems to focus so much on science fiction first-person shooters. How far can we go into the future? Don't get me wrong, I love them. But I really enjoy this unique, regressed, primal aspect to a game like this. So for me, I am very, very excited to check out the final version of this game. It's coming next month on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. I'm definitely going to be reviewing it on PC for you guys so I can give you the final word of, you know, whether or not this is worth your time and money. So far, it looks like it is after only paying the first 3 hours, but I know there's a full, larger experience past that in the final game. So I'm very looking forward to getting my hands on the final copy and giving you guys my full, unbiased review on Far Cry Primal. So I hope you guys enjoyed listening to the show as much as I enjoyed recording it. Don't forget, you can subscribe to us again on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. Check us out on play.it/gamertag. Send us an email at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave us a voicemail at 786-273-7GTR. And don't forget, once you're done listening to this episode, make sure to check out my gameplay montage video that I put together from the first 3 hours that I played at the event, highlighting all the cool, special moments I think helps portray why I'm so passionate about this. You know, I think the visual aid is important, so make sure to check out that video at gamertagradio.com. Find a link attached to this episode. So that about wraps it up for episode 535 of Gamertag Radio. Hope you all have enjoyed listening to this as much as I've enjoyed recording it. Cannot wait for the full experience to come out next month. And I'll get you guys my full unbiased review at that time. This has been Paulston J, wishing you the best and signing out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.